All right, please welcome Charles.
So I was 18, and my unforeseen, unexpected consequence when traveling to Costa Rica is I would have to kill a man. So at 18, I had already traveled across Europe and all over the place. My parents had a really multicultural house. We had foreign exchange students coming through our doors, and growing up, we had lived in a trailer and traveled around the United States, and I felt like I'm pretty comfortable with travel, and there's things that you do when you travel, and there's things that you don't do, and you know what to expect when you do the wrong things. So I was in Thousand Oaks growing up there, and surfing with my friends growing up in Los Angeles County, and we had this dream to go to Costa Rica and surf. Because, you know, you have some of the best waves in the whole world. There's no time change, and it's a short flight. So at 18, I graduated high school. And my friend said, hey, let's go to Costa Rica for a couple months and surf a lot. So I had two friends, Tim and Chris. And Chris was, like me, pretty down to earth, not as traveled, but more mellow. Tim was up for any adventure, anytime, anyhow. So we get together, and this is, I look younger than I am. This is before you had cell phones, and you know, you had like a calling card. So you left, and I'm this young kid, I'm 18, and I get in the airplane, I've got this calling card, you know, it's like, I got 30 minutes if I need help, right? And we just go, and we go to Costa Rica, we're going to be there for a couple months. And we had no plan. You know, you couldn't plan a lot when things weren't as, like, you know, the internet's not around, right? So we go down there, we get there, and we're in San Jose, which is in the center of the country, and we need to go to the coast on the Pacific side. We're going to go to this place called Tamarindo, and we're like, well, how do we get there? We have no idea. So Tim, the crazy one, he goes, hey, Charlie, let's go down to the airport, and let's make some friends and find a way to do this. We didn't speak Spanish. So Tim and I went down to the airport, and for 2 days, we hung out with, like, I think Tim just chose the seediest looking guys to hang out with. So we get down there, and we're hanging out with these guys, and we finally meet this guy named Johnny Rodriguez. And Johnny was 35, and to me at 18, it sounded like he was an old guy. And he was kind of excited kind of guy. And down in Costa Rica, Johnny told us, if you're 35, that's the year when you go crazy in your life. So tattooed on his shoulder was Tico 35. It's like Costa Rican 35. That's the time. You know, here maybe you do that when you're young. I guess in Costa Rica, when you're 35, you just go hog wild. So Johnny Rodriguez, we're down at the airport, and he goes, hey guys, I got this friend who's got this van. We can put all your stuff in this van and we get you to Tamarindo, no problem. $20 and we'll take you there. We'll drive overnight. So Tim and I, we tell Chris, and we go, hey, that sounds great. We want to surf. We got our surfboards and bags and backpacks and all this kind of stuff. So we go, yeah, let's get the van, let's go to Tamarindo. So it's like light at night. And we get all of our stuff and we pack it into this van, our surfboards on top, I mean, everything we have, right? I got my calling card in my pocket. And as we load up everything, Johnny goes, he's talking to the guy, this van guy, and he goes, hey, Tim, Charlie, Chris, the van's oil needs changed. We're going to just take all your stuff and get the oil changed and then come back. I was like, no way. No, you don't do that. You don't just give somebody that you just met everything you own and then just say, like, I'll see you in like an hour. So Chris and I go, nah, it's not happening, Tim. And Tim, very charismatic, energetic guy, goes, Charlie, we can trust Johnny. We can trust him. And it goes back and forth, and Tim just overpowers us. And I just remember standing there and looking, and the van just drives off. And we had just got there on this couple-month trip, and everything just left. And Johnny goes, hey, guys, look, this is how you know your stuff's coming back. I'll bring it to my house, and then you know where I live. And Tim thinks that's great. So Johnny goes, we'll walk over to my house. So we walk to Johnny's house. And I had no words to describe this. We walk down this alleyway into an abandoned construction site. And we walk into this dark, like cinder block structure with no roof and no wall on one side. And there's like this, it's like late at night, and the street lights come in, and you see this kind of like brown table in the middle of the room. And as you get in, your eyes adjust, there's like this old guy sitting at the table, like with some whiskey. And there's nothing in the house. It's like completely empty except for this table and this old guy. And Johnny goes, well, welcome to my house, you know? And me and Chris go, this guy doesn't live here. This is like an abandoned building. There's not even a picture on the wall or anything in the sink. Well, this is a small unforeseen consequence because the car comes back. And so Tim goes, look, see? Johnny's trustworthy. This guy's A-OK. We could just trust him with everything. So we just, Chris and I just go, we just made it through that one. We'll just surf, right? So we spend a couple months surfing, and Johnny kind of tags along with us. He gets his deals at the hotels and all this kind of stuff. And I got sick. We went to this place called Dominical, and in Costa Rica, you can drink the water, but not in Dominical. We showed up, and we went to this little like house restaurant, and we all go, hey, we get some waters. And that person she goes, no, you shouldn't drink the water. You know, she's speaking in Spanish, and we're like, no, we're not tourists. Don't need to give us bottled water. So we're just drinking the water, and then I'm like bedridden for like a week, and I'm like hallucinating, and I'm puking, and like Chris and Tim, they were fine. They're like out surfing, and they're having a great time. And I'm like, we had rented this little house with cockroaches on the ground and stuff. It was like, you know, it was $100 for 2 weeks. We rented this place down by the water, and the whole time I'm in there just sick as a dog, and I'd wake up and I'd be at home, and I'd be like, I'm at home. But then like the vision would fade, and I'd be like in this cockroach-ridden, infested place with this like bed, and I'm all sweaty and just terrible. So I just am sweating this out. So at the end of my sweat out, I don't know what I had, but I got over it. And I kind of come to my senses, and I get my surfboard, and there was a swell, and we were so excited. And I just go, I'm through this. I'm done with being sick right now. So I'm going to go surfing. So I get my board, and I go surfing with Chris and Tim. And we're out there, and it's like beautiful. It's beautiful waves, beautiful sunset. And I just like, my spirits get lifted, you know? And so we all, you know, we camaraderie, like, hey, Charlie, welcome me back. You know, you've been sick so long. And then we all come back to the house, and we go in. And usually Johnny, he's like nice. He'd make us some rice and beans or something like that. And we come back, and Johnny's not there. And we had rented a car, and the car wasn't there. And they look at me, and they go, you were the last guy to see Johnny. Where'd Johnny go? And I said, I don't know. I don't know where Johnny went. So we're looking around and trying to figure this out. And we look in his room, because it's a little room, and his bag was in the house. So we look through his bag, and there's like nothing really of, just some clothes in this little bag. And our keys to our car was gone. But he didn't steal any of our stuff. So we start descending into 18-year-old fear. We're like, well, what do we do? You know, like I called my parents. I was like, hey, I think the guy like stole our car. What do you do? And they're like, why did he have your keys? And like, what do? You don't do anything, you know? We like tried to call the police, and they're like, so what? You know, like then nobody cares. And so we're in this town, and so we kind of like, we're like, okay, we know a few things about Johnny. We know he lived in Jaco, and we know he's like a local around this area. So we go to this like local bar place, and we're talking to the girls at the bar, and they go, yeah, that guy Johnny, he was in here selling coke just 2 days ago. And we were like, selling coke? You know, so we start asking around town. Turns out this guy is this big coke dealer locally. And our car's gone, and we're just in Costa Rica, and we have nothing, we just don't know what to do. We're just kids. So we don't do anything. And at the time, I had found on the ground a Kurt Vonnegut book, The Sirens of Titan. And Kurt Vonnegut's a nihilist. You know, at the end of his books, everything just like, that's going to work out, just explodes into nothing. You know, it's just gone. And so I felt like that was my life. I was just like, what do I do? There's nothing to do. It's just going to explode, and I don't know. Like, there's no consequences. There's no like thing happening. I'm scared. I'm 18. And Tim and I, we loved that movie Apocalypse Now. And you know, the song The End by The Doors is like repeating in my head. And we just kind of sink into madness. I remember we just wore like shorts. And I remember we'd walk around and we'd crack coconuts and just pour them over our heads. And we'd be like, I don't know, like, what's happening? You know? Like, and so this went on for probably a week, and the car was gone. And so we kind of like regrouped and said, all right, guys, well, what's the next step? And we said, well, we have to look out for Johnny. If he comes back to try to get his bag, he'll come back for his bag. So you know, because we're wise travelers, you know, young guys. We all brought knives, big knives, you know. And so we said to ourselves, if Johnny comes back, he'll bring guys with him. He's his coke dealer, right? So we have to kill them. And so we had this plan, you know. It was like, all right, Tim, you're in station one, I'm in station two, and it was like grouped around the front door, right? So like one guy would be here, one guy would be over there, and one guy would be over there. So it was like ideal. So if people are breaking in the back doors, we could stab them too. You know, like, I mean, we were ready to brawl with, you know, Costa Rican drug dealers, because we, you know, we we're invincible, right? So one night, like through the cracks in the wall of the house, we see headlights come up to the front of the house. And like, I jump up first, and I go, somebody's in our driveway. And I look over at Tim, and I say, Tim, somebody's here. And he's kind of groggy. We get Chris and shake him, and we go, it's time. They're here to take Johnny's bag. And we have to be ready to fight them. And I mean, adrenaline is like surging. So I get up on the door, and we all have our knives like ready to kill, you know? I mean, why do we think we should kill people? I don't know, you know? That's like the worst idea you possibly can have. I mean, like, take your bag, take our car, get out of here. I don't want to kill anybody, really. But we were ready to kill, because we just think that's what you do. You fight for things. So, you know, we're stationed in our positions, right? We're ready to go, and we lock the door, and then the headlights turn off, the car turns off, and we hear these footsteps coming up on the grass, and it's like 2 in the morning, right? And we hear somebody try to jostle the door, and start banging, and we go, "Who's there?" And we hear Johnny. He sounds all tired. He goes, "Oh, guys, it's Johnny." And we're like, "Is it just you, Johnny?" He's like, "Yeah, it's just me." We're like, you know, we're saying this at the door, "Where have you been?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah. I took your car just to drive down to this local park to make sure it was open. Like a national park thing." And we're like, "Johnny, you were gone for a week. You took our car. You don't need to drive to a national park to check if it's open. It's like 4 hours away." And he's like, yeah, why don't you open the door?" And Tim, the crazy guy, he goes, "Yeah, we can trust Johnny. Open the door." You know? So we open the door. And you know, you have an expectation of the consequences. You know what's going to happen when you make stupid choices, right? Like hanging out with a coke dealer in Costa Rica and giving him your car keys and living with this guy. You know what's going to happen. It's going to turn out bad. And sometimes your unforeseen consequences don't turn out bad. We open the door and Johnny walks in and he's like real tired. And he goes, "Hey, can I sleep? I'm really tired. Let's talk about this in the morning." And we let him sleep. We wake up in the morning, we go outside, there's a different car in the driveway. And we go, Johnny, where have you been? And he goes, just been out, and I got a new car, and I tried to go to this place, Manuel Antonio, to see if it was open. And we did not believe that. But we were so thankful that we didn't kill anybody. And we were so thankful that in our silly youth, that nothing bad happened to us. And that was our unforeseen consequence, because we foresaw so much trouble.